comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are and wherever you happen to be around this beautiful planet we call Earth, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, it is the show where you matter. You know, I am rather vocal about what I have referred to as mushroom media, lamestream media, mudsucker media. I have many adjectives for them, but specific instances, I apply those to specific instances, and I think it's only fair, and you know this, when they get it right, I think it's only fair to hand out compliments. And UPI ran a story today that is, it's about UFOs. There is absolutely no giggle factor in it. There is no ridicule. All they do is just report the facts. And so I'm going to share this with you, but I certainly, if I had my hat on tonight, my hat would be off to UPI for doing straight reporting about this stuff. They get an A+. Sometimes I pass out what I call the Steaming Toro Kaka Award, but not for this one. This one gets an A+. It's from Angel Fire, New Mexico, and what they're reporting on here is there have been reports in Angel Fire, New Mexico, of UFOs landing. And there is a group called the Alliance Studying Paranormal Experiences. And it's based in Angel Fire, and it's headed by Janet Saylor. Well, a lady by the name of Judy Piper, who is an accountant in Angel Fire, discovered some circles on her land that she owns in the Moreno Valley just outside of town. And so she reported this to Janet Saylor of the Alliance Studying Paranormal Experiences. And last weekend, now she reported it to Janet Saylor, and the article doesn't go into a lot of detail. I'm assuming Janet Saylor then called in MUFON. Now, the assistant director for the New Mexico State chapter of MUFON is D. Gregg, and he is a New Mexico State University professor. So last weekend, he did a presentation about the investigation into these circles, and he said something that normally you would expect they would poo-poo, but they didn't. He regards the question only, you know, whether there was a landing or not. That's already answered. The only question is, what kind of craft landed? So, A+ to UPI. Thank you for doing good, straight reporting. May there be more. We'll be back with my guest this evening, Robert Miles. My guest this evening is Robert D. Miles. Now, he's been with us before, but it's been a while. He is an experienced author, screenwriter, producer, director, cameraman, has over a 35-year track record of successfully doing business with a number of America's largest, most prestigious entertainment and business corporations. He's produced numerous films for television, full-length documentary features, hundreds of television commercials, many of which he wrote and directed, and has sold his products to such companies as HBO, Showtime, On Television, and Z Channel. When he was with us before, we were talking about the release. Actually, it was the soon-to-be-released at that time documentary called Fast Walkers. And you may remember, I went there and covered the premiere of Fast Walkers, and we broadcast live from the theater there that night. It turned out that that was really productive for the Kevin Smith Show, because I got to meet in person such people as Charles Hall and Robert Dean for the first time. I'd talked with him, but I'd never met him in person. Stephen Bassett, I met him for the first time at that premiere, and Walter Bosley, and some others. By the way, Travis Walton as well. And so it was a very, very fruitful evening for the Kevin Smith Show, and I hope it was for Robert Miles and Fast Walker. Robert, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hey, Kevin, thank you for having me back on. And of course, every time I work with you, it's just outstanding.
Well, I thank you for that.
You are one of the true professionals in the business. And what I like about Kevin Smith is that he walks his talk.
Well, thank you. I certainly try to. Robert, Fast Walkers, you know, a lot of these films that come out sort of do they're sort of like a July the 4th fireworks display. They come out, they fire high into the sky, there's lots of excitement and lots of glitter, and then they just fade away and we don't hear from them anymore. But Fast Walkers has traction, and it's continuing to sell and continuing to make waves. Since you premiered Fast Walkers, you did something pretty special with it. You made sure that everyone in Congress got a copy of it. Tell us about that.
Well, Kevin, thank you for acknowledging the film and the hard work that was done by the special team, the Project Safe Space special team. And what I want to make real clear is that Fast Walkers is and was a special project of the Safe Space Project. And it was done by some very special people, special team members, that included Bruce Jessup in Germany, Stoyan Chernovsky in Bulgaria. He was our web guy. Bruce was a co-producer and did a lot of research, a lot of films. Incredible quality guy. He also put up money. Then there was my son, Anthony T. Miles, who shot a great deal of it and edited it and posted it and put the music on, which happened to win an EBE for Best Music from the UFO Congress, and myself. And it took us 2.5 years to do. And we actually premiered it at the premiere you came up to, and thank you for coming. We had a lot of great people up here, and we also premiered it in Phoenix at Harkins, just sold out. And it does have legs. It does continue to sell, and it's selling worldwide, even though 1.5 million people have illegally downloaded it on the Internet. But it's been great publicity for us. And it's got a lot of the good information out there, but it does continues to sell, and it is now in release. After going through 10 distributors that won it, we released it with Vanguard Cinema on November of this year on the 24th, and now it's available in Blockbuster and Netflix and a lot of other places. But the Congressional Edition was a special edition that was made possible by the team on our contributions, was made possible also by Steve Bassett and by a wonderful person by the name of Elliot Maynard, who I believe you met up here. And he's a PhD, one of the top marine biologists in the world.
And he's been a guest on the show here, too.
Yes, he has. Uh-huh. He's an amazing guy. And he and his wife, who has since passed away, Sharon, came up to the premiere. They bought a bunch of DVDs and gave them to some very, very high-level people. And then he says, I want to help get this thing to Congress. So what we did is we produced what we like to call a collector's edition of that film, and Bassett delivered it, hand-delivered it to the congressional people. And since that time, the great guys up at Exopolitics Toronto have done the same thing to the Canadian Parliament. And I just can't acknowledge Mike Bird and Victor Vigilante more than, you know, it's amazing. And I had the opportunity to go over to Paul Hellyard's house and meet with him, and then he came, endorsed the movie at the premiere, said a few words, and that's up on YouTube, that clip from that premiere in Toronto. But that movie is exactly the same movie as the original Fast Walkers movie. There's a little confusion about it, but except that it's been what I call politically sweetened. There's been 8 minutes removed from that film at the request of Steve Bassett. And Steve said that some of the people in there were not credible enough. And some of the things that were said was something that politicians and top-level people would not get behind. So we had to trust his judgment. We gave him the call, and we went ahead and cut out 8 minutes. And matter of fact, they even cut out about a third of what I had to say. Because when I talked to people about the briefing that I had and the extraterrestrial contact that I had and what's coming down for this planet in the future, Steve felt the Congress was not really ready for that. So it is an edited version, but it is a collector's item, and if people still want it, we have about 100 of them left.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's the story on the political side of that one, and it's just been given out. You know, it's really made the rounds. It's done a good job.
What impact would you say that edition has had, having been delivered to the U.S. Congress and to the Parliament of Canada? Can you tell that there has been any impact from that?
Had a tremendous impact on Paul Hellyard. It had a tremendous impact on a number of people. And I would say that it sent a ripple, but I've never seen a wave. But, you know, we can always hope. And, you know, if people see the original edition of the Fast Walker movie, whether they rent it or they buy it or, you know, they see it at a premiere or whatever, it has a, you know, I like to say it does have an effect on most people and what they think about this whole subject, the disclosure subject.
All right. Now, you said you've seen a ripple, but you haven't seen a wave. So let me ask you something, and I realize I'm asking you to speculate, but that's okay. You know, I just want you to your opinion on this. Do you think that the reason it didn't cause any waves, at least none that you could see, when this was delivered to Congress, do you think it may be because they already know?
Absolutely. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, everybody else knows. But there's a plan, Kevin, and that plan is rolling out, and boy, has it been accelerated. And the most perfect example of that is the steps that the Vatican is taking now And I think that you were able to review a quick copy of the Geraldo Balducci interview that's available now on Open Files Volume 4, which is our library collection. And, you know, the church, the Catholic Church, I guess there's over a billion Catholics. I was raised a Catholic, so I know a little bit about the religion. And the church is making, as you know, as you well know, although your audience may not know, they're making incredible moves. They put up this new infrared telescope here in Arizona called Lucifer, and some of their top people, like Father Jose Fumes, who's the head of the Mount Graham telescope and also the head of the Vatican telescope, has made statements. But, you know, they go all the way back, just like everything else. You know, Padre Pia, and you know, there's just a lot of evidence. But when somebody watches Geraldo Balducci's interview there on Volume 4, and they hear him say, we have star brothers and sisters, and God created many, many planets and many, many star brothers and sisters. They're not devils. They're not angels. You know, then that really makes a statement, and he was very close to the Pope. He wrote the books on demonology. He was an official exorcist for Rome, and I've also got to acknowledge both Steve Bassett, who helped bring him here, and Paula Harris, because she does the translation of his Italian into English on that Volume 4 edition.
Okay, now... you say there's a plan and it's rolling out. I think I know the plan to which you refer, but give us some details of that, if you will.
You bet. First of all, we have to come to grips with the fact, and I believe it's a fact, and I know it personally because I've experienced it. Many of your listening audience, you know, have possibly experienced it as well and possibly know it as well, but nothing that happens on this planet happens by accident. We live in a class zero civilization. We live on a planet where we don't even control our own resources or our energy, where our communication systems are completely regulated and controlled. And this plan, and, you know, you can link it to extraterrestrials. You can link it to power groups. You can link it to mega corporations. You can link it to capitalism. You can link it to communism. You can link it to wherever you want to link it to. But that plan has been in existence for a long, long time, and it's gone out completely as scheduled. Even this oil spill is planned. The effect of the oil spill is already taking place. The key people have now taken over major oil companies. They're about to be able to control the price of our energy. There's going to be regulation. There's going to be evacuation. There's probably going to be martial law. And all of it's planned. And we sit here and we panic and we think we can do something. Well, believe me, if they wanted to fix that problem, they could fix it. If they didn't wanted to have that problem, it never would have happened.
You're talking about the oil spill, right?
Yeah, just like 9/11, just like the war. You know, what people don't realize is you just don't go to war. It takes 30 years, Kevin. You're a military man.
I want to be accurate. I'm not military. I was international police, and I served in areas where alongside the military. So I'm very familiar with the military, but I'm not military.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know that it takes a long time to condition a population to hate, to kill, to fear, and it takes a long time to build up the armament. It takes a long time to get positioned. And generally, in the old days, and times change, everything changed, and that's what we've got to be used to, is change. And speed is kind of relative, because they get things done a lot faster now than they used to back when everybody was in covered wagons. but used to take 30 years to prepare a country for a war. And all the bankers have to finance the war. All the factories have to gear up. You know, let's face it. We live in an action reaction mode, and they know that, and they use it expertly.
Okay. So, what's the end game for all of this? I mean, are we headed towards totalitarianism, and we'll just be there forever, or is there something coming after that?
We're heading towards 80% reduction in the planetary population. Okay? 80% of your friends and neighbors aren't going to be here. And we are ending up just like every planet that's under the control of this interdimensional, fifth-dimensional group of beings. They exert that control, and for all practical purposes, we're on a prison planet. And we're not our bodies. I know for a fact that I am a being. I am an energy being. I occupy a body. I drive my body like I drive my car. And, you know, death, unfortunately, is something that everybody kind of fears. And as my daddy used to say, the Indians told him that you have to beat death every day. And, you know, we face that, but, you know, we don't have to face it with fear. We don't have to face the future with fear, because the Safe Space Project and the Safe Space Vision and what we're doing here, and many, many light workers on this planet are doing, and it's just amazing the work they do. People like you, people like Robert Dean, people like, you know, the good-hearted people, they know that the vibratory rate of love is greater, it's higher than the vibratory rate of fear, panic, anxiety, rage, and all those things. And if we just operate in that harmonic, we can change our destiny.
All right. We have to step away for a break, and after 2 or 3 minutes, we'll be back. More with Robert Miles. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Robert D. Miles, filmmaker, and much, much more. When we went away for break, we were talking, you had just mentioned these fifth dimension ETs that are controlling everything here on this planet. Who are they?
Well, in my book, Safe Space, and also in the screenplay, Safe Space, The Briefing, which is a good read because it's easy to read even though it's a screenplay, I talk about the Federation. And I talk about what was called the Old Republic. And, Kevin, I got to set the stage for this because the original story, Safe Space, was written way back in 1971. And published in the early part of 72.
Okay.
And then the book was actually upgraded in 2003, and then the screenplay was written about a year ago. So, you know, it's an evolving story, and it's a combination of science fiction and fact. So these fifth-dimensional beings are the extension of what I call the Federation. Now, since that time, there's been a lot of people use a lot of terms. Star Wars didn't come out until 3 years later. The only thing we had at that time was the old Star Trek stuff, which mm-hmm. was great. And so these fifth-dimensional beings are in control not just of our galaxy or our universe. they are in control of the multiverse, and Miku Keiku and fortunately other people have, the quantum physicists are now discovering there's many dimensions, or postulating it and proving it, and these group of beings have existed on the mother planet since time began. And that's recorded time, because before time began, and time is a relative term, and we can get into that, because time is completely different in those other dimensions than it is in what we call our third dimension. So before the Federation, there was the old Republic. It was composed of independent people and independent systems and independent traders that traded, and there was star travel. And the Federation came in, and they used what was called Zionist's principle. And the principle is very, very simple. And that's that they never wage war against a planet. They wage war against the leaders. They remove the leaders, they incarcerate them, and they put them in a very special place. It's a very special prison planet where they don't know who they are or where they're from, and they live lives of kind of quiet desperation, because every now and then they might have a fleeting hint of who they might be. And people, you know, you're independent, Kevin, and that's what I love about you. But the Federation hates independence. It wants control, it wants order, it wants predictability, and they now control the multiverse. And there's a few left. We call them the old guard. And they have established what is known as the New Republic, and it's rebuilding, it's gathering strength. And I like to believe that I'm a part of that. I like to believe that the light workers are part of that. There are people that are sent here on special missions to take the chains off of the people of planet Earth and return them to their rightful beingness. They are the leaders. They're people like you, Kevin. And, you know, the Federation just can't handle that.
A lot of people cannot handle me.
Okay,
now, I know that my audience would want me to ask, how do you know this?
Well, Kevin, let me take you back a little ways. I'm just an ordinary guy. Grew up in a logging camp. Moved to Portland, Oregon, went to technical school, became an aviation mechanic, but decided I wanted to make more money, so I went out in the woods, became a logger. And I made a lot of money, and I loved cars, and I spent every dime I had on my car. And I had a lot of nice cars. Had 30 Corvettes. Okay, I've raced them. I love automobiles, and it's kind of like the old cowboys. If you didn't have a good horse, you just weren't anything. Well, in this day and age, the age I grew up, and maybe you did too, if you didn't have a car and you didn't have a good one, you know, you just didn't have a pony.
Mm-hmm.
So as a result of that, I did a lot of things. I was a welder. I worked my way through college welding in shipyards, building railroad cars. I even worked in a mousetrap factory and the overhead door company. And, you know, I just did everything that normal people do, and I finally got a good job. I went to work for New York Life, then the Standard of Oregon. I had the incredible honor of meeting Napoleon Hill, and I was exposed to the idea of a supermind group. And then one day I got all tired of all this. I had the Corvette, the speedboats, I had a lifestyle and property. And someone told me, because I was so unhappy and so bored, that, man, you ought to build a boat. There's a whole world out there. And I ended up buying an old derelict boat that was about 43 feet. It was a replica of Joshua Slocum's boat that he sailed around the world, and it was all rotten, and I replaced the wood hull with a metal hull and sailed that boat up and down the Columbia River, taught myself how to sail, could never learn how to navigate because nobody knew how to navigate, to do sun, star, and moon navigation. Even the Coast Guard couldn't do it. So I got tired of that old slow boat. I heard about these new boats, these trimaran boats, and everybody said if you build one, you're going to die, and they're going to flip over, and they're lightweight, and they're capable of speeds like 25 knots when my old boat did about 4.5. So I built one, and I decided to change my life. And I had a good partner, and we sailed off, and we didn't know how to sail that well. We didn't know how to navigate, and we blundered down the California coastline. We hit incredible storms. We kissed the earth when we got to the shore, and we spent about a year in California, and then we sailed off to Hawaii, and I landed in Hawaii totally broke. Went to work in a sugarcane factory making sugarcane trailers. Then I went on, sailed around the islands, lived in the islands for a couple of years. Painted 1,800 rooms as a commercial painter with a spray gun for hotels over there. I worked in an electric company, just doing everything I could because my dream was to sail around the world. But you know, after all that time on the boat and meeting all those people and talking about all the problems you have out there when you try to sail to Tahiti and they want a big deposit in case you die over there and all the regulation and the control, I decided this was not for me, and I decided to sell the boat. And I wanted to discover who I was. And I started taking classes, you know, doing all of these weird religious cult, Silver Mind Control, my Life Spring, Mind Spring, Scientology. I did all this stuff. And I began to discover, studying Buddhism, I began to discover that I really didn't know who I was or why I was here, but I wanted to find out. And I decided to sell the boat. The first morning that I sold the boat to the first guy that came down the dock, and suddenly I realized that my life was going to change. And I'm going to pause there because the next step is to tell you about the experience I had.
Okay. Well, we've got about 5 minutes till break, so go ahead.
All right. Well, it was the morning that the people that were going to buy the boat weren't going to pick it up. I got up early, about 4 o'clock. I love the early shift. I always took the morning watch. I got up, got my clothes on, went in and got a pot of coffee, came back to my bunk, drinking my coffee, looking up to the big skylight over my big king-size bed, looking at the beautiful breaking dawn over Hawaii. I was sitting in Alawai Yacht Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii, with about 300 boats on an entai. Suddenly, I had the most incredible feeling, and my body began to resonate, and the whole area in the room began to do a light show. And all of a sudden, a beautiful woman materialized in my stateroom right next to my bed. And it was, Kevin, the only thing I can do is describe it as, we know what 110 feels like if we stick our finger in the light socket, kind of zaps you.
Mm-hmm.
This was like 440. And it was the most wonderful, orgasmic feeling, but not sexual. And she was standing there, and I thought I was hallucinating or dreaming. And I shook my head, and I said, this can't be real. And she says, it's real. She says, I'm here, and I'm real. And I said, you can't be. And she said, touch me. And I reached my hand out, and I touched her body, and it was solid. And she looked like an ordinary human, but the vibratory rate was so incredible. And people ask me, how do you know when you meet an ET? And I say, you can feel their energy. And if you can't feel their energy, look out. Because when you're around people, you can feel their energy. I know you're sensitive, Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the people out there in that audience are sensitive. And if you feel a really, really bad vibratory rate, be careful, because that might be an alien, and it might not be a good one. And anyway, she asked me to go to a briefing, and I said I would. And people say, well, you're abducted. And I said, no, I went very willingly. And she told me to close my eyes and imagine I was in LaGuardia Airport in New York City and I'd be there. And I said, I can't do that. And she said, oh, yes, you can. I'm going to help you. I closed my eyes, and the next second, I was in LaGuardia. And people say, well, what dimension were you in? Were you in your light body? Remember, Kevin, that this was almost 40 years ago, and I couldn't describe it. I couldn't answer those questions. And since that time, I've learned a lot about quantum physics. I've learned a lot about interdimensional beings. I've learned a lot about class two civilizations. And what they do appears to us as magic. And, you know, we try to logically figure it out. And just to make a long story short here, I went ahead, I got a ticket on the Jupiter flight, I went up an elevator, I boarded a boarding area, I went into a large circular area, the lady met me in a beautiful outfit, the most sparkling, incredible material, and we didn't have Lycra in those days. And I seated myself in a seat, she says, we'll be taking off in a few minutes, there were other people aboard, young and old. And I looked out the window, and I saw the Earth, and then I saw it reduce in size from a half dollar to a quarter to a dime until it was just a spot. And it seemed like about 20 minutes later, I arrived on the planet Jupiter. I disembarked. I looked behind me, the most gorgeous saucer you ever seen, probably about the size of a 747. And the whole sky was the most radiant, illuminated, gorgeous, colorful light show, and that energy was there, and I was met there, not only by her, but by several other individuals. They looked human. They had a variety of clothes. I was taken to a building. It was white, probably mostly underground, and I attended a briefing.
Okay. I want you to hold up right there, because we have a break that's going to take over in about 8 seconds, and when we come back, I want to hear about this briefing. And I got a few questions to throw in there as well. Okay, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking with Robert D. Miles. He is the executive producer of Fast Walkers and a host of other film projects. And when we went away for break, Robert, you were about to tell us about this briefing.
Yeah. Kevin, I think we got a technical problem. Everybody send me messages that you're offline.
That's not unusual. Not unusual. Just continue. Just continue. Tell us about the briefing.
I got your live stream, though. You're coming through loud and clear on your live stream.
Just continue. We know about that. I'm going to do what NASA did to the astronauts. We know about that. Go the other way.
All right, partner. I love it. Okay, all it means is you're getting powerful, buddy.
Yeah, they hit us every night.
Okay, well, anyway, so here I am on the planet Jupiter. Here I am with these incredible beings. But they got physical bodies, and people say, well, did they look weird like the creatures in Star Wars? And no, they didn't. You know, now other people say, well, they can look like anything you want them to look. And I say, okay, well, that's fine. Anyway, so I go to this briefing. There's about 50 other people in the room. And, you know, they started to tell us about the planet Earth, a lot of the information in the Safe Space story about this planet, about why it's here, that it's a very special place. Because I told you, Kevin, that the Federation removes the leaders. Well, this is where they put them. And it's the most carefully guarded secret that the Federation has.
When you say this is where they when you say this is where they put them, do you mean they put them here on Earth or they put them on Jupiter?
No, they put them on Earth.
Okay.
And they protect this planet with an intensely effective security system, electronic grid. And no one comes and goes without permission. And, you know, they allow a lot of stuff. You know, they allow traders, they allow different ET groups to come here. They are an incredibly well-organized, totally functioning. They realize you've got to have a little bit of a steam valve to let off some of the pressure. But in that briefing, Kevin, it was the most incredible thing, because whether they showed me holograms, whether they showed me the Akashic record of the future of this Earth, whether they showed me what was really there, maybe I was there, you know, in the future, but I was told that this planet was going to be exposed to extreme cataclysms, depopulation, that the Earth would be reduced back to a level of a primitive society, and that technology, just like it's been destroyed in the past, just like the ancient civilizations that were once here and are now gone, we were going to go through that whole thing and experience it again unless we take action on an individual basis to change it.
Okay. Couple of questions, and then we'll move forward. Now, when you went to LaGuardia Airport, did it look like an airport in the future, or did it look like LaGuardia looks now?
Present time era, circa 1971.
Okay. But
people were walking around, people were talking. Now, whether they could see me, I could definitely see and hear them.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the old LaGuardia.
Okay, now, the spacecraft that you got onto, were you able to see what it looked like?
Yes, when I disembarked on the planet Jupiter, I came down off a boarding ramp, like an escalator kind of device. I looked behind me, it was the most beautiful, traditional, saucer-shaped spacecraft, silver in color, and probably 300, 400 feet in diameter.
Okay, now, who were these beings that were doing the briefing?
They were what I like to call the New Republic. And when you talk about the New Republic again, you're talking about what was the old Republic before the takeover by the Federation. And, you know, we can talk about time, but remember, time to fifth dimensional beings are different than Earth time.
Okay, now, when you're on...
very linear.
When you're on Jupiter, you get off of the spacecraft. What does Jupiter look like? Is it like the pictures we see from NASA, or does it have trees? What does it look like?
Oh, it's not at all like we see from NASA. And you know, folks, you got to realize that our solar system, our planetary bodies, are totally different than the picture we've been painted by NASA and the traditional media. It had an incredibly radiant energy field. It had an incredibly radiant and luminescent sky. It had an ocean. I went to the briefing. In terms of time, Kevin, there was a time dilation because I felt like I was on the planet about 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire experience, when I returned to Earth, it took about 50 minutes. But that planet, the ocean was silver-looking. It was not what we would call water. I would have to say it was more like, it looked like mercury, but I don't think it was mercury.
Mm-hmm.
It was some kind of an element, but I don't know what it was. And so many people would say, well, why didn't you ask a bunch of questions? And I asked a few. I asked, like, how can this be happening? And they said, well, you know, our spacecraft come and go all the time from Earth. And, you know, we can cloak them. People are not aware they're there. They operate in another spectrum. And I asked a few questions, but basically, you know, I listened and I absorbed. And it was the most incredible experience of my life, and I wish it on everybody.
All right, now we have a couple of minutes here before we hit our next break. So let me ask you this. What makes you sure that this was real and not a hallucination?
Well, you know, I went through that whole thing of touching my body. I went through the whole thing of touching their body. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I was on Art Bell once, and he grilled me for 3 hours on this. And then the next night he had Ed Danes come on, and Ed Danes said it was a My Lab thing. But in my world, it was totally real. And what has proven out to me over the 30-some years that I've been committed to my mission that I agreed to take, which is to use my skills in television advertising, the media, motion pictures, to change the vision that people have from fear and panic and, oh my God, what is happening to us, to a vision of hope. And I know it was real, Kevin, you know, and, you know, my life has never been the same. And a lot of people say, well, he's just totally weird and out of it. But I know that what I've done has affected people in a good way. I know that information is getting out there and we're making progress. And just like right now, if you got technical problems, but your live stream is coming through great, let me just say that we're getting there, and we're going to change the reality of the planet, and we're going to do it because of people like you and the light workers out there. You know, they'll knock us down, they'll put us in the fire, and we'll come out that much stronger, buddy.
It's a little bit difficult to handle roughly someone who just won't die. You know, I know that you can kill our bodies. I don't think that my body is me. So if you kill my body, yeah, so what?
Right.
It's a little bit hard to threaten someone who understands you can't kill me. You know, I don't die. But anyway, they try. They try. Now... well, I was going to ask a question, but I will have to hold it because we have a break that's coming up. And when we come back from this break, we'll jump off into that. Okay, folks, don't forget, if you haven't subscribed to our free weekly newsletter, be sure you do. It's at kevinsmithshow.com. Just scroll down. You'll see where the link is that says K-Files. Just click that and subscribe. It only takes a few seconds. And it's free. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening is Robert Miles. For those of you just now joining us in this second hour, welcome aboard. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. Robert, I have a question or two now. When we were talking about how you are sure that this was real, over the years, you've told this to a number of people, and I'm sure that a number of people have tried to convince you that you were hallucinating, you know, that this didn't actually happen to you, that this all just happened in your head. Has anybody ever, even for a short period of time, gotten you convinced of that?
Never.
Never.
Never once. And let me tell you, Kevin, it has been very, very hard on my personal life. It was very hard on my wife of 29 years, who's the mother of my son. And in the book, I talk about the young lion, and that's my son, Anthony Tribune. And he lived with that. I was briefed that I would have a son. I was briefed on what his mission would be. I was briefed on what his name would be. during that briefing, and all of that has transpired. And you know, I think that when we started Fast Walkers, he still believed his old man was crazy, and he told that, you know, to people. He told that even on a talk show. But you know, after he met some of the researchers, when he heard their personal testimonies, he began to change. And you know, I wouldn't say he's a believer, but he's certainly open to this possibility now, and he's even acknowledged that he may have a part to play, which he has already played a part by all the great work he did to win the People's Choice Award with the EB for Fast Walkers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's continued to help me, and yes, absolutely. But you know, Kevin, it was really a funny thing because I never met anyone who said they were at the briefing. That was the strangest thing because I was absolutely convinced that all this was going to happen tomorrow when this happened to me. And that's what I say, you got to be real careful about time, because I've grown to understand that what we're going through now, and a lot of people say it's all going to happen by 2012, and that's fine, but I'm not setting a date. What I say is we are going through the birth pains, and we are experiencing the trauma. We're experiencing the changes. We're realizing that our Earth is being affected, and the awareness is growing, and thanks to shows like yours. And I just want to say to everybody out there, support Kevin Smith. Support his sponsors. You know, help this guy to do the kind of a job that he does, and he sacrifices his life. And I know Kevin, and I respect and admire this man. Help him, help this show reach the world through the miracle of the internet. And so, Kevin, I just want to acknowledge you and the other people out there that no matter what, you stick with it and you don't let this crazy world and all the stuff we're bombarded with on every level change your mind. Because in your heart, you can feel it in your heart when it's right.
Well, I thank you for that. And let me say, the world is growing daily, from my perspective, more and more insane. And not everybody, but the overall conditions of the world. I mean, this... I've never actually seen a shark feeding frenzy, except, you know, in the movies. But the world is reaching a point right now where it appears to me very similar to a shark feeding frenzy. They're feeding on themselves, and it's going nuts. But back to the Jupiter thing. Now, when they finished the briefing, I assume they put you back on the same ship and brought you back.
No, they didn't.
No? How did you come back?
There's somebody knocking at your door on your stateroom. Be there. Decide you're there, and I was. And my partner was pounding on my door saying, get up, we gotta sell this boat, we gotta deliver this boat. And about 50 minutes had passed. But on Jupiter, it seemed like 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, tell you what I want to do. I want to open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to join us. I know there are people who are going to have questions, and we want to give them the opportunity to participate.
Absolutely.
All right, so the telephone numbers, for those of you watching on our TV channel, have appeared on your screen. For those of you listening on the internet or on your favorite radio station somewhere around the world or on your cell phones, the number here in the studio is 623-444-5889. Now, that will work from anywhere in the world. If you're in the USA or Canada and you don't have one of those calling plans where you can make long distance calls at no extra charge, in other words, if it's going to cost you, you can use our toll free number, 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll free number that works out there. The main number you can call, but you know, if you don't want to make the international long distance call, what you can do is send me a flash message, and you do that by going to my website. Scroll down under Robert's picture, you'll see a link that says flash message. That's for people who are not in the USA or Canada, okay? And that's there because I don't have an international toll-free number. All right, let's take a look at Rob in Australia has sent a flash message. Oh, okay. He's telling me the JetCast player from my site comes up as a channel offline, but I'm getting it fine through. Yeah, we have many different ways for you to get it over the Internet. And the JetCast player is rather unreliable right now. And so if you can't get it on my site, mine is a minor site to get it on. If you go to indy104.com, you'll be in the company of around 720,000 people listening to the show, something like that. And so you'll be in great company. And then we have a bunch of other sites around the Internet where you can click and go there and listen. All right, so what's the atmosphere like on Jupiter?
Wonderful. Everything about Jupiter was wonderful. I couldn't recommend it. It's a great place to visit. If you get a chance to go there, as long as you're with some friendlies, because I'm sure there's more than one of Jupiter around. There's more than one reality. In the multidimensional universes, they have all kinds of neat little toys that they use and set up. So be a little careful. Use your intuition. A lot of people say, well, are you in contact? And I say, I receive a lot of communication from a lot of different sources. And sometimes, I took it. In the beginning, Kevin, I was very naive, remember? I was not a scientist. I was not a highly educated person. And anything that popped in my head, I tended to believe. And boy, have I made some mistakes. And anytime somebody tells you they're going to help you, and they don't want anything out of it, and anytime you better use your own ability to discern, and you better check that source, because you might be in for a surprise. And I know, Kevin, you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah, boy, do I ever know what you're talking about? Okay. Let me give the telephone numbers out again, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. The phone lines are open. And, Robert, you've got some pretty big news of something upcoming. Do you want to share that tonight?
Right. And, Kevin, I'd love to get you there. So let's get the folks out there to put a little pot together for Kevin to come to Roswell, because we're all going to Roswell this year. That's a great little city. There's lots to do. But over the 4th of July weekend, man, I tell you, it's happening. We've got a motion picture premiere of Fast Walkers in the Galaxy Theater in HD high definition. We're going to have a premiere there. We're going to roll out the red carpet. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. And, Kevin, your show's the show I'm going to announce it on. Tickets are for sale online at the Galaxy Theater in Roswell. Just go to allentheaters.com. And it's not a big theater, and they say, well, let's see what you can do. There's 100 seats available. There's a bunch of tickets that have been blocked out for VIPs like Kevin Smith. And we're going to have a great time. And then I'm going to be a speaker there. They've got a lot of great speakers. That whole city is going to put on the biggest show for UFOs in the world. And everybody knows the word Roswell.
And yes.
I just want to acknowledge the fantastic people at Roswell. There's a Roswell city that's working with us, and Renee Roach and her team of people just doing an incredible job. I'm going back for the second time. There's a UFO museum there, and the director's Julie, and they're doing a great job. The Allen Theater people, local manager, Cell, is doing a great job. We're going to have a fantastic premiere, and then we're going to have 4 days at the exhibition hall. And we're going to be doing interviews for our new documentary, Roswell Revelations and Beyond. That's an extension, and I mean a real extension of the Fastwalker movie. We're going to take you out there, folks. We're going to talk about Roswell, but we're going to talk about what's going on out there with the Space Command. We're going to talk about, you know, what happened with the whole Third Reich, and a lot of people don't know about the Fourth Reich. You know, we got great artists, we got great people, just an incredible time at Roswell over the 4th of July weekend. So make plans, and let's get Kevin Smith there. He's been at every premiere.
All right, let's go to the telephone line, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Well, he just hung up, or she. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. And to whoever it was that was online, you gave up just as I was bringing you up on the air. All right, back to the phone and caller. You are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Stefan in Quebec City, Kevin.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello, Mr. Miles. I mean, I really enjoy your work, and you seem to have a very good energy online here. I was wondering, in regards to the light workers around the world, what do you think the barometer is for knowing that the mission has failed to make this a better place?
That it's failed?
Yeah, like we don't want the mission to fail. We want to turn this place into a better place. But what do you think is a telltale sign that we cannot let happen? Do you think it's depopulation? Do you think it's what's the last stone that we don't want to turn over?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that question before. I think people have to be prepared for the internet to go down. I think the whole solar flare thing. I think there's plans to bring down the internet. I pray it does not happen. But you know what's really funny is over the years I've met a lot of the top scientists. A lot of them were computer programmers, and they work in these big companies and they do their job, and they worry about their paycheck and they worry about how they're going to support their family. They really worry about the military pensions and their government pensions, but some of them risk it anyway. But let me tell you, every one of those programmers that have created all that code that all those systems run on, they got back doors, buddy.
Nice.
And there's also shortwave. And, you know, there's a whole packet technology that's not discussed. Kevin probably knows about it because of his intelligence background. But there's alternate systems. And so be prepared. Get your family ready for survival. But keep working, because they can't beat us. We aren't going to give up.
No, they can't. No, there's too many of us here.
You bet.
Thank you very much for
connect
the show.
Up. Connect up. I mean, we got a grassroots thing going. Do you realize that just recently a little movie came out called Paranormal Activity? And it was done for $16,000. And do you know, my friend, that they didn't have a single star, and it's already done $140 million at the box office before it went to DVD? The people are hungry for this information. And you don't need George Clooney. George Clooney cost $30 million to do in Goats, Men of Stare at Goats. It's only done $68 million. So we can do it. I mean, create the grassroots network, and let's get it in there before we have a problem with communication. But even without the internet, and God help us if it goes down or when it goes down, we can do it. And thank you for your help. I can tell already, I can feel your energy, buddy.
Thank you very much, and great show, Kevin.
Okay, thanks, Stefan. 623-444-5889. That's the magic number that will get you from wherever you are on planet Earth right here to the studio. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay. When you call, don't wait and listen to your radio because that's in delay. Okay? So when you call, make sure your radio's down and listen to the telephone. That way you will be brought up on the air right on schedule. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
Yeah. I just got a couple of comments. You talked about the internet going down. Actually, they wouldn't be able to shut down the whole internet because our military and other establishments is too reliant on it. I mean, I suppose they can shut down the public part of it, but I don't think they can shut down the internet, period. And also, this stuff at Roswell and these aliens, you know, I'm sure that, you know, the people who go there and had encounters with them, I'm sure they're aware of these expos that happen there. I mean, what would be a better time and a place to show up? You know, you got believers, you got, you know, you got hundreds of believers, plus you got media, you know, so wouldn't that be an ideal outcoming for the aliens? And I'll listen to you guys.
Absolutely. It'd be a great place to do it. And, you know, we get reports of the different congresses having sightings and different things. And thank you for your comment on the internet. Sounds like you know what you're talking about on that. We'll see. Remember that you have a Navy Space Command that is specifically missioned to keep that from happening. Okay? Now, there's spacecraft that come and go from this planet all the time. There's spacecraft over the White House. There's spacecraft that come and go. There's all kinds of appearances. Some of it's infrared stuff that's starting to come out now. And now we've got the new little hand cams that do infrared, all kinds of stuff. But, you know, I don't predict anything. I will say this, that there'll probably be people that get transmissions. Hopefully, you know, we might get an appearance. That would be wonderful.
All right. From Leonardo in Puerto Rico. Leonardo says, interesting guest tonight. His story sounds very much like the movie Contact, regarding time, that is. Regarding Jupiter, I understand that it's a gaseous planet, no land. Or is there a port of sorts? Okay, Leonardo. What about that, Robert? We get told that Jupiter doesn't have a hard surface. It's gas.
Yeah, we've been told the moon has no atmosphere. And we've been told that Mars, there's no one there. This is just NASA speaks, which is a mouthpiece for other ABC agencies, as you know, Kevin. And I just want to acknowledge the fact that people need to think for themselves. They need to look. The information is getting out there, the real stuff. Check out guys like Hoagland. Check out what's really going on. And Jose Escamilla is another one that's done some incredible work. Support these researchers and think for yourself. Get rid of that, you know, that programming mode that so many of us, you know, get into, and turn off all that crap trap and start listening to the shows like Kevin Smith Show.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Mark from Ohio. I have a couple questions for Robert.
Okay. Let me warn you, Mark, we may run into the break. If we do, just hang on. We'll get you on the other side of the break. But go ahead.
Okay. Robert, I listened to your radio show a few times. I wondered if you were going to start it again anytime soon.
Okay. I've never had an actual radio show. I consider that the radio shows that are out there are the very best supporting group that there is on the planet. And I have done a lot of radio shows on as a guest and other people, but I've never had a radio show of my own. And God bless all the Blog Talk Radio people.
Hello?
And the Paranormal Network and all the people that are doing the great job. They do a much better job than I would.
I have one more quick question. I have heard John Lear state that NASA is lying about the condition on many of our planets, and I read a book called A Day with an Extraterrestrial by Lou Baldwin, and he states the people of Uranus are highly advanced and that there's a large human presence on the planet, that the atmosphere of Uranus has a bluish-green shade, and that there are clouds, and that there are cities, tube cities, that are suspended above the surface of the planet that contain gardens and tropical forests and animals and people. So maybe Jupiter is a little different than we've been told, and I wondered if you could describe Jupiter in a little more detail for us.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to, and thank you for bringing up those subjects and those authors. You know, it's absolutely true that the picture we've been painted is inaccurate. It's absolutely true that there are people on the other planets that are in our system. And Jupiter, and again, remember that in Earth time I was only gone 50 minutes.
Okay, Robert, let me ask you to hold that description till we get back from break, because we're only about 5 seconds, 4 seconds away from the break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and to my guest, Robert Miles. Now, Robert, we had to cut away for break, and you were about to describe Jupiter for our last caller.
Right. Well, first of all, remember that I was there for 50 minutes Earth time, maybe 8 hours their time. Beautiful planet. Architecturally, very, very green, very, very non-intrusive buildings, more dome-like, white, probably made out of some type of material that is very advanced. The beach was fantastic. I did not go in that liquid. I didn't see anyone swimming in the liquid. But the most impressive things were, first of all, the energy flow. The energy was just wonderful. You know, when I came back, my feet did not touch the ground for weeks. That harmonic stayed with me and invigorated me for weeks and weeks and weeks. And even now, when I recall that moment, I feel that energy. I feel that vibratory rate, that incredible feeling of what I would like to call the harmonic of love and affinity, because affinity, as you know, Kevin, is really the willingness to share yourself and what we call your space, your beingness, with others. And that's the sense I felt. And the sky was so radiant, it was so colorful. It wasn't like lightning flashing across the sky, but the psychedelic colors, the magnificence of Jupiter, you know, it's describable, but without the feeling of affinity and love and connectedness, you know, the picture is not complete. And if I was an artist, and I've had people try to paint it, and they've done a good job, but they've never captured that feeling of unity and oneness.
And all right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. And I'm going to say there was never a sense of takeover. I felt like I was an individual. I felt like I was part of something. But I did not feel control. I did not feel possessed. I did not feel like I had to give up my own free will in order to experience that and be a part of it. And I think that that feeling is what's radiating out there in the light workers. And it's that feeling, that willingness to come together and be one for this important change that we're going to bring about on planet Earth, and then later throughout the solar system and the multiverse. But we got to start with Earth, Kevin.
All right, back to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. All right. When you call and I put you on hold, it's best to stay there, because I very often put you at the end of the line if you hang up on us. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, I'm Charlotte from the D.C. area.
Hello, Charlotte.
Hi, and
hi, Charlotte.
Hello, and I would like to ask Robert if you've seen any of the Jupiterians since his experience when he was very young, and if there are any of them walking among us on Earth.
Great question. I feel there are many among us, and not just Jupiterians. I had the incredible honor of having a person by the name of Al, who is an aerospace guy in Phoenix, Arizona, and some of his footage is in Fast Walkers, where you see this UFO crossing, the shadow of the UFO crossing the moon. And he's about 75 years old, and he told me that in the course of his lifetime that he had met three extraterrestrials, and that they came and went. I've had many, many people share their experiences of contact with light workers that are here on this planet. Now realize that it's not just light workers that are here. Not only are there transformers who can shapeshift to take identity from other dimensions and other planets and other universes, other systems. They occupy the Earth as well, and they come and go with immunity. And they're not necessarily good people or good beings. And so you have to use, again, discernment. You have to test that energy. You have to feel it in your heart. You'll know their resonant frequency if you just pause. And if you meet one, you'll know it instantly. And they say the great masters were like that. And I believe that that's so.
All right, Charlotte, you have any other question, or does that take care of it for you?
That takes care of it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Charlotte.
623-444-5889 is our main number. If you need to call me toll-free in the USA or Canada, it is 888-223-4599. If you are outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can call us at our main number, 623-444-5889, or you can send me a flash message. Okay. All right. That flash message was a personal flash message to me, so I won't read it on the air. Okay. But let me say to Leonardo, I will respond to that right after the show, okay? Yeah. Now, look. How did you know I mean, you went and you got on the spaceship, and it took off. How did you know that you were on Jupiter? I mean, how were you aware of the fact that it was Jupiter?
Well, first of all, they told me it was, and secondly, I guess I just got to say that my intuition told me so. I mean, again, there was that feeling of certainty, that feeling that I wasn't being hoodwinked. And, you know, Kevin, you're familiar with a lot of stuff that goes on. So all I can say is that my life has proven out that it's so.
Well, no. What I'm asking, though, is how do you know it was Jupiter rather than, say, Venus?
Well, because they told me it was Jupiter.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I got to say that that worked for me.
Okay. All right. Now, did it appear that this was like a temporary colony that was there, or were these permanent structures?
Oh, these were permanent structures. I mean, this place is a fully occupied planet. You know, and that's not unusual, I don't think. Based on other research I've seen, I've never had, as Bob Dean puts it, the nickel tur.
Mm-hmm.
But other people have, and they report that there's civilizations and structures on many of the other planets in our system. And I have a lot of high regard for some of those people. And someone brought up John Lehrer, and he's a classic. So I don't know John. I've spoken to at the Monterey or show, but you know, interesting people out there.
All right, now have you since this happened to you, have you had the opportunity to go back to Jupiter or anywhere else that you didn't take them up on it, or have you made the trip?
Well, I've had opportunity to visit the Tithys starship, which is in orbit on the backside of Jupiter. It's a 3-mile-long Federation Corvette cruiser, which is capable of devastating action were it put into action against our planet. It was originally sent here to do that, but in the Safe Space story I tell about Regent Varsh and his mission here to this planet sent by the Federation to destroy the civilization, return it to a primitive level, but he has a change of heart. He's mentored by an old priest who is part of the old Republic and the Republican Guard. And again, people say, well, this sounds like Star Wars, but I mean, folks, this was 3 years before Star Wars ever appeared. And, you know, I've been aboard the Tithys. I've also had the pleasure to interject myself into what might be called thought form creations. Thought form creations like the Safe Space One, which is the seagoing vessel that I'm missioned to create here on the planet as a demonstrating model of people from all of the world working together to create something that's beautiful, because here on Earth we learn best if we can see other people that are doing it. And that's what Safe Space, the building of the ship's all about. We're about to launch a special project, as you're aware, Kevin, of the building of the prototype. We call it the SS-1P. And hopefully it'll be about an 80-foot trimaran. It'll have about 8,000 square feet of living and working space. And it'll be an example of people working together, coming together as a special team to build that. It'll be used in the motion picture. The last ship I built, Kevin, as you're aware, and there's a picture on the website if they go to Safe Space One and scroll down of a what was at its time the largest catamaran in the world. I designed it and pulled together a group of people, and we built it in 1 year in Phoenix, Arizona, took it apart, trucked it to Long Beach, launched it, and its mission was to be a trading ship, and we ran into a lot of social problems, and ultimately I end up with only 6 partners out of 19, and that's another story, but the bottom line is I did design and build the Fairweather One, and there's a picture up on the website, 80-foot mast, 3,000 square feet of living and working space, accommodations for 20 twin Peugeot diesels, 3,000 feet of sail. So that's going to be a special project, the prototype vessel. If people are interested in that, just send me an email with prototype vessel or SS1P interested. Anyone can contact me by my website, by the way, safespaceproject.com. My email's there. And also, if you go to Fastwalkers, it's linked to Safe Space. And again, Fastwalkers was a special project of Safe Space under the Safe Space, what we call a news agency.
All righty then. All right, we are coming up on our final break of the evening, and when we come back, we will, of course, folks, be in final approach. And that means if you've been wanting to call, then you need to get your fingers warmed up, because when we come back from break, we'll have the telephone lines open. We'll have time for maybe one or two calls. I want to remind you as well that I will be in the chat room this Saturday evening, so if you're not a member yet, it's 23 cents a day. Come on, give us a try. We'll be back right after this. And we are on final approach for this flight of the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Robert D. Miles. And we're talking, well, we kicked it off talking about Fastwalkers, which I think a whole bunch of you are very familiar with. You've got it. You've seen it. He's the executive producer of that. And then we've been sort of strolling through the story that eventually produced Fastwalkers. Robert, let me ask you a question. Oh, by the way, folks, the telephone lines are open, 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599 if you need to call me toll-free. And we also have the flash message option still open for those who are outside of the USA and outside of Canada. Robert, where do you go from here? What's up next?
Okay, well, thank you for asking that. I got two things I would like to just comment briefly on.
Mm-hmm.
One is the folks, we now have the Fastwalkers Open Files Library. There's 4 volumes. If you go to the fastwalkers.com website, there's a special internet buy we've introduced with free shipping and huge savings. You can buy them singly, or you can buy the whole library and get a great deal, and I personally put those out. So check out Open Files. There's a trailer on YouTube. There's a trailer on our website. And then secondly, Kevin, hey, Kevin, let's put a meter up on your website. Let's get you a ticket and a hotel room for Roswell, and we'll put it on Facebook, buddy. And all I got to do is hear you say you'll come, and we'll treat you like an honored guest that you are.
Well, if the funds are available, I certainly will come, and we'll be glad to do so. And I could say yes, I will be there. But if I were to take the funds that we rely on just to pay the bills around here, then we'd have to go out of business. So. If the funds are available, I will be there.
Okay, well, let's just put a meter up on your site, and let's see if we can fill that puppy up, man. I want to take you to dinner. I want to give you a VIP treatment.
Well, that sounds good to me. I like being treated like a VIP.
Well, you are one.
I don't know. I've been treated like a lot of other things throughout my life, but VIP was not one of them. But, no. Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, let me say, I have the Fast Walkers library, and I've got, I think there's four of those right now, right? Four DVDs?
Yes, and there's probably about, 10, 12 hours of video there.
Yeah, and it's fascinating because you get to sit and just listen to some of the major players in the UFO world just talk about their experiences and their knowledge, and I never can say his name right. Cardinal Balducci, Monsignor Balducci. Then you have Robert Dean. And Alfred Weber, and I can't even remember who all else. But these are great folks; they really are. And if you would like to just sit down, for instance, and just let Bob Dean talk to you, well, here you go. This is a way. If you want to have Monsignor Balducci just talk to you about what he knows about UFOs, about extraterrestrials. Well, here it is. And, you know, it's not just the little short scenes that you are restricted to anytime you're putting together a documentary. I mean, this is long. As you said, about 10 hours worth. And it's good stuff.
Well, Kevin, on Volume 4, we got Geraldo Balducci, Sean David Morton. It's a little controversial right now. We got Rod Simone, great movie maker and a great researcher. On Volume 3, we've got Stanton Friedman, Jaime Masson, Dr. Richard Sauter, who's the expert on underground bases. On Volume 2, we got Dr. Greer, Graham Boutaine, who had the most incredible recorded event, was even in Blue Book. Graham Boutaine has passed away, so has Geraldo Balducci. Dr. Leonard Horowitz, he'll tell you about extermination and about AIDS. He's the foremost researcher in the world on Ebola and viruses and the AIDS, and the whole group of them in the pharmaceuticals and what they're doing to us. And then on Volume 1, we got Jim Mars, Jerry Pippin, and Alfred Weber. And I want to get an interview of Kevin Smith on Volume 5, so let's get him to Roswell, you guys.
I don't know what I could possibly say that would be worth anybody sitting down and listening to for an extended period of time. But,
come on, buddy.
All right, let's go to the phone for our last call. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Haya.
Hello there.
Hi. Talking about, you were just talking about Alfred Weber.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also Paula Harris, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. Paula's on with Geraldo Balducci, an incredible gal. Just an incredible lady.
So excited because I'm going to meet her this summer.
Fantastic.
Have you heard of James Gilliland?
Yes, I have. I've talked extended with James, and I haven't had the pleasure to visit his ranch up there in the beautiful mountain there, but I've got a lot of his video that he contributed, and we weren't able to use it in Fast Walkers just because of some technical difficulties, but he's an incredible guy.
Oh, because this is going to be my third time up there.
Oh, good for you.
I was there last time when the four ships came in.
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely.
Did you get a hold of the pictures of the ships?
Yes, they sent me a lot of information, but it's a little bit dated because I haven't been in touch with... I've got all of his books, by the way, great read, and I really admire that guy.
Well, I like him. He's a very, very nice man. He's not pretentious. He's just a really open, honest sort of individual. Alfred Weber's going to be there today.
Oh, great.
I mean, he's going to be there for the conference that I go to. And okay. Alfred Weber is very interesting. I met Andy Bashenko. I met him that was in the DARPA program.
Bisaggio.
Yeah, Bisaggio, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I met him last year as well, and it was just really incredible people I've been meeting.
I hate to do this, but folks, we are out of time. And so, Haya, I wish we had more time. We don't, because the end of the show is racing towards my face right now as I watch the clock. But thank you so much for the call, and I want to thank Robert for being with us. And, Robert, if you will, stay on the line with me for a moment as I close the show. I'd like to talk with you for a moment. All right, folks. It is always, always, always a universe of information. If you miss a single second of the Kevin Smith Show, you miss a universe of information. Is what we've talked about here tonight controversial? Sure it is. And many of the things that you think are well-established facts in this world are actually controversial as well. All truth creates controversy. Not all controversy is truth. So you have to do what Robert said. You have to use your own discernment. Sort it out. Think about it. Sift through it. And that's what this show is about. It's about bringing you the information so that you have the material you need to think about and to sift through. I thank Robert for being with us this evening. It's been a pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for tonight. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.